just looking at Caleb up here with Shelby and over here, did Reed go into the nursery? When she was holding him over here, he was just staring at me. And then just seeing Caleb made me think, and if I get to it by the time I get done talking here, just made me think of some 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's the church of tomorrow, guys. Pray for them. Pray for these young families as they raise their children in this crazy world. And a lot of you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We need to pray for them, remember. They got a big, big task in this crazy world. But just seeing those two little men. Sorry. All right, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. As long as I still hear pages rustling, I know I still have time. I'm going to forget to do it. It's right in front of me, so don't let me forget. This first candle, anybody remember what we call it? No, that is the second one. The first one is the candle of promise, and then the candle of that won't light. Well, this won't. Last week we talked about the candle of, and this week is the candle of hope. Now the candle of promise, we remember Isaiah 64 when the Jews were asking God to come and free them. Save them from the government oppression over them. On the candle of light, I don't want to go too much into it because we're going to talk to it about it in a couple minutes again. But just that in John 1, that he is the light of the world. And then love, John 3:16, he loved you and me so much, that he gave his only son. Today we're going to talk about hope. Now, there's the saying that says you can live 40 days, you can live. It's possible to live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without oxygen, but you can't live 4 seconds without hope. Well, I got it. You know, every analogy has its breakdown, and since Thanksgiving, I could probably go about 46 or 48 days without the food thing, but... So, you know, everyone breaks down in its point, but you get the idea. And Jesus Christ gives us the hope that we need and the hope that we're looking for. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, we talk about the light again. Just briefly, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You will multiply their nation and you will increase their gladness. They will be glad in your... They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Referring to soldiers after a conflict. Light. Plants can't live without it. They need the sunlight for photosynthesis to happen and to help them to grow. You and I need light. They say one of the early on in this COVID era, they say one of the best things is to get sunlight, vitamin D. Get out and be active and get in the sunlight. God created our bodies that way to absorb it, and it's part of the nutrients that we need. We're not made to sit in a dark closet and just, all right? Because then I'd say you vegetate, but veggies don't even grow in the dark, so that doesn't make any sense either. But you take light, and you can use it for different purposes. In its most focused light, there's a device called a laser that can cut right through metal. But ask Dick, did they use a laser on your eye Friday, Dick? Was it a laser, or did they use a scalpel?
It was a scalpel.
It was a scalpel. Okay. Cataract surgery. That's done with a laser, though, right? And that just is amazing how we can control that little light to not just burn your head right off your shoulders, to go in there and just take care of the cataracts. And yet that same light, used in a different fashion, can cut right through metal poles. Light can be so bright that it can blind people. The military, I remember back in the mid-80s, and I'm sure they've been working on it long before then, but our unit flew from Denver out to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio. We got to go through some of the research and development laboratories there. And even back then, we were trying to create helmets for our pilots that would protect their eyes from lasers from enemy airplanes. That was a long time, almost 40 years ago. I'm getting old. That was a long time ago. But we need light, and just like so many other things, it can be used for bad as much as good. Light gives heat. I know they have certain kinds of lamps that they'll put in a chicken coop to keep the chickens from freezing in the wintertime. And those little chickens are, I'm sure, no doubt appreciative of the probably more the heat that it gives off than the light. But we need light in our lives. And Jesus Christ is that light. Can anybody quote for me Psalm 119, 105? Nope. That's good. That's 119, 111. That's right there. Go ahead and finish that one, though. Go ahead and finish that one. Amen. That's 119, 111. How about 105? Yep. His word is light for us so that we can see where we're going, so we don't get lost, so we don't fall off the edge of a cliff. His light guides us and directs us. John chapter 1. Just going to read a couple. I know we spent more time on the first 14 verses, but just to look at a couple verses, starting in John chapter 1, verse 3. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. If there is no light in your life is dark. We don't even need to pull out the geometrical equation. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. We don't even have to get that complicated. It's either this or that. It's light or dark. So if there's not light in your life, I'm sorry for you, because that means there's darkness there. And that's not a good place to be. We need the light. We need the light because, for one thing, it exposes our sins so that we can go to our Father, Heavenly Father, and ask for forgiveness. But as 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it shows us where we're going. In verse 6 of chapter 9, there we have the hope of light, that we need that light to live by. We have the hope of a wise counselor. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. With the song that Shelby just sang, think forward to Matthew. Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 50. We're not going to take the time to turn there, but chapter 2, 41 to 50, talks about Mary and Joseph going up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when the days of the feast and the ceremonies have been concluded, the next day Mary and Joseph are headed home in their caravan. And it takes them a full day to realize that Jesus is not with them. That'd be a little scarier in today's world, wouldn't it? Just a little bit. Try a little harder to keep track of them today. But I find it interesting that when they went back to Jerusalem, it took them 3 days to find Jesus. Which tells me that Mary and Joseph, even after 12 years of this perfect child living in their home, they still didn't fully comprehend who he was. Because if they knew who he was and understood, on day one when they went back to Jerusalem, they'd immediately gone to the temple. It's the first place they would have gone to look for him. At least that's what I would think if I knew who my son was and that it was Jesus Christ. You'd think that that would have been the first place they would have gone to look for him. It took them 3 days to find him. And what was he doing there? He was drilling, quizzing, and answering the questions of the Pharisees at the temple. Even as a young man, he was about his father's business, but he had wisdom that astounded the spiritual leaders of the nation. He was sitting with the teachers, listening and asking questions, and mom and dad were surprised, but why? Because even at that point, again, they didn't fully comprehend who he was. Now, we realize, too, that God's on just a little bit different level than we are. If anybody thinks they're equal with God, knock yourself down a level or two before he does, okay? Just duck and get out of the way. We are finite beings. We can only do so much with what we're given up here. It only goes so far. Our God is so great. His ways are not our ways. He can, as far as the east is from the west, we have no idea how far that is. But that's how far he puts our sin away from us when we come to him as our Heavenly Father and asking for forgiveness. He will be a king that doesn't fall into the trap like so many of the kings of Israel did. So many of them started out well, and towards the end of their lives, their kingdom wasn't so much. Even David, with the rebellion of his sons and the mess at the end of his time as the king, and Solomon, in all of his glory and all of his wisdom, got off the beaten path. Too many women. We only need one, and he had over 1,000. What a mess. What a mess. The worst part of that was that as a Jew, he should have known better not to marry outside of the Jewish family. And when he did, and he married all these other beautiful women from other countries and had all the concubines and wives that 1,000 men should only want, one at a time. His downfall was that they led him into worshiping their gods and offering sacrifices to their gods and not remaining true and faithful to the one true God. God's kingdom will not end up like that. God's kingdom will not end up in a mess. It will go on forever, and it will be done well, and it will be done right, according to God and his holiness, according to his purpose. I know we've talked about this too, that God knows our thoughts, or he knows the words that are going to come out of our mouths before we even think them. And as big as our God is, and as much as he loves us, as much as he cares about us because he knows the number of hairs on our head, and he has a plan for each one of us, and he's with us every step of the way, as much as that is true, on the plus side, also can be kind of scary. Because when you make the decision to sin, he knows it before we commit the sin. See, sin is a choice, and we make a decision to do it or to not do it. And when we decide to do it, before we do it, he knows. Our Heavenly Father knows. It can be comforting to know that he knows so much about me, that he knows my name. But it can also be a scary thing. Also there in verse 6, it talks about him being a mighty God. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. The way we see him is limited by our sinfulness, by our humanness. God is greater than his creation. As great and as massive, we don't even know the ends of it yet. Probably never will. At least not this side of eternity. As smart as we are and as big as the big telescopes we can build, we still don't know where the universe ends. He is just that awesome and great. He is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. We need to be careful not to worship his creation. His creation should point us to him. We should not be worshiping his creation. We can worship him because of what he created. But he is the one that is to be worshiped. He is the great I am. That baby man-child in the manger that we sing about was co-equal with God. He is God. And to think of the might and the power at his hands as a little baby. So, in the fact that he is a mighty God, and we see in Philippians 2, as he being the mighty God, that he humbled himself and became obedient. He took on himself the form of a servant. He became like man in shape and form. So that he was obedient to the Father, and so that he could carry out his Father's plan for us in salvation. We have the hope of light, we have the hope of a wise counselor, we have the hope of a mighty God, and we have the hope of an everlasting Father. In our society today, there's a big, of course, this was an election year, so there was the politicization. I don't know how else to say it. That's the word I need. a certain segment of our society and how the families are without fathers and how gangs come up because of it and then it's drug relatedness and dad's not in the home. Well, in the election year, it comes up that it's one group of people that's a problem with. But folks, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what color your skin is and any color of skin, that's a problem when dad's not there. Because that's not our Heavenly Father's design. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, purple, green, yellow, orange, magenta, whatever color you want to call it. When dad's not in the home, there's a problem. The only reason I'm going to use this illustration is because I've heard another pastor use it in another church. I don't know if it was considered a sitcom or exactly what category it falls under. But do any of you remember the TV show Cheers? And at the beginning, and it's about a bar, and that's why, come on, Pastor, what are you talking about? Anybody remember the guy's name at the beginning of the show when he would come in, everybody would shout? Everybody would shout. Norm! And part of the theme song is that it's someplace where you'd like to go because everybody knows your name. That ought to be the church, not a bar. But because the church doesn't do that, in so many cases, people go to the bar because that's where they're accepted for who they are, and they're accepted just they don't have expectations. You come in and everybody in the bar isn't trying to form you into their mold. They take you with all your problems just as you are. That ought to be the church of Christ, people. That ought to be every church, evangelical church in the world. When you come in, people know your name. People are concerned about you. People love you. People treat you like our Heavenly Father treats us and loves us and makes you part of the family of God. Those kids that grow up to do drugs and sell drugs and join the gangs and even murder people just to prove their gang colors are desperately seeking a role model. Someone to follow, somebody that will love them, somebody that will treat them as if they mean something, as if their life is worth something. We have in Christ and in our Heavenly Father the perfect role model. No matter where we're coming from, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what horrible sins we've committed, our Heavenly Father always loves us. He will always accept us with open arms. The other pastor advocated that they were going to change the sign out in front of their church and just take the church sign down and just put a sign that said, a big neon sign that said bar. He was joking. He wasn't really serious that they were going to do that. But the thought is there. Is that somebody wants to come in where everybody knows their name, where everybody loves them, where everybody makes them feel a part. Tell me if I'm wrong. Am I wrong on that? Have people changed so much that we don't care if anybody likes us? I mean, obviously we need to be more concerned in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, but people and family relationships are important. Isaiah chapter 9 there, verse 6, tells us that we have an everlasting Father who will never, ever give up on us. We have the hope of light, a wise counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father. Our everlasting Father who is the creator of the universe and the role model, the only role model that I need in my life. Turn with me to the New Testament, if you would, to John 14. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of knowing that what he says he will do, he will do. And if we ask him to be the savior of our life, to come in and cleanse us and make us clean, we can rest assured and know for a fact that we will have eternal life because he is telling us that he is going to prepare a place for us. That's not a bait and switch. That's not a hook just to get you in. It's not a just a great saying. He says he's going to prepare a place for us. He's going and he's preparing a place for us. John 14:16, same chapter, just a few verses down. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Verse 18 there again talks of almost the Heavenly Father thing. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In the first couple of verses there, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says that when I go, I will send a comforter to you. The Holy Spirit will come alongside. He will indwell you as a believer in Christ. He will not leave you. We have the hope of that Holy Spirit. We have the hope of that comforter. We have the hope of having access to that power. You know, we have access to the power of God. Through his Holy Spirit. Got to be careful, though. It's nothing that we do. It's what he does and what he can do through us. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. God, the Holy Spirit. Powerful. We have access to him. That's a promise from God in his word that he would send the Spirit of truth. He gives us a helper, a comforter, an encourager. So we have the hope of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the hope of eternal life. Titus 2:13. First and Second Thessalonians. I always say it because it's such a small, it's about a page long. First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, Titus. There's five T's in a row there. If you ever, when you're trying to memorize the books of the New Testament, you just kind of lock that in. It kind of puts them all together there, as long as you get Thessalonians first. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk a little bit on Christmas Eve, Thursday night, about the three advents of God. First one was when he came as a babe in a manger. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the warrior on a white stallion. Second advent is when he comes. Advent means coming. Second advent is when we allow him to be the king of our lives and ask him to be the Savior and Lord. We accept his salvation, his way of salvation. And the third is when he comes again to take the church, take the dead in Christ first, and then the church that's alive and remains will be caught up together. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Luke 12:40. You can keep, well, you don't really have, we're not going to come back to Titus, but this Luke 12:40 ties in with Titus 2:13. Another verse in 2 Timothy just popped into my head, and as quick as it popped in, it popped back out. If anybody thinks of it while we're talking, go ahead and shout out the reference in 2 Timothy. Luke 12:40. Be ready. Luke 12:40, you two be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I'm looking for the verse in 2 Timothy where it tells us that we'll receive a crown. There we go. Thank you. Yep. I was looking right there. 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Luke 12, be ready. He's coming, be ready. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 1,000 years from today. I know a lot of theologians and Bible, you can't say it'd be 1,000 years from today. It's too imminent, it's too close. Well, we know from a couple of weeks ago that preacher 103 years ago preached that it was going to happen tomorrow, the next day, it's coming. And it might be tomorrow, could be today. But we need to be ready, we need to be looking. And part of that readiness is being obedient, and part of being obedient is telling those around us. Sharing the gospel so that they will be ready too. We don't need to be selfish. We need to be sharing the word. We need to be living the word so that people see Christ in us. We talked about the light and the prism, how it refracts the light. We are not the light. He is the light. We need to reflect him to the world. When the world looks at us, they need to see Jesus. So part of our responsibility is to be ready, to be looking. This is a crown that every Christian should have without any problem. Are you looking? Are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you looking forward to his coming back? We have in Philippians 3:10, kind of bouncing you around the New Testament now. We have a hope, and this kind of goes back to the idea of the Holy Spirit coming alongside being a comforter, but also being our power source. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, what kind of power was in the resurrection? What would you say if I said, he is risen? All right, now that we woke you up, he is risen. Amen. He is, in fact, part of the hope that we have is to know him and the power of his resurrection. To know that power resides in us through the Holy Spirit. Not our power. It's God's power in us. But what a hope that we have that one day we will be resurrected. Some of us may go without the physical body dying. But if you do, be assured, rest assured, be ready. How can you tell somebody in the grave to be ready? He's coming. The day's coming. Be ready. And the power of the resurrection, that's part of our hope. We can rest in that and have hope in that. And in conclusions, Romans chapter 15. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. After we read this verse, I'm going to read it as a prayer. And after we read this verse, we're going to sing "For God So Loved the World." Then we'll take a 5 or 10 minute break. Those of you that need to may leave, but then we'll take 5 or 10 minute break and head right into our business meeting regarding our budget for 2021. Go ahead and bow your heads if you would. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the ministry of our Heavenly Father in our lives. Thank you for what Christ did, coming as a babe, but coming in obedience so that he would one day die for us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, and the power of the resurrection, and that we can have hope. We can have hope in you as our wonderful counselor, mighty God, eternal Father. We can have hope in the salvation that you provide for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.